Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hey, I'm back. As some of you know, I went road tripping over spring break down to New Mexico. What a fun time. And we did a whole entire day of thrifting. So I have a lot of thrift hauls to share with you guys. So first up, let's do the record review. Some of you may recognize this record playing in the background, but this is the Kinks. And you guessed it, I got this record for $1. It's so cool. And the story of this record is it was in the case, so I knew it was going to be more than $1. But when the woman behind the counter pulled it out, she was like, well, I don't know how much it is. It doesn't have a sticker on it. And I thought, oh no, they're not going to sell it to me. And she was like, well, I guess I'll just give it to you for the same price as all the other ones. How's $1? And I was like, it's amazing. I was like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, that'll be fine. I'll take it. You know, I was like trying to play it off. But it's the Kinks. I cannot tell you how much I love this song. In fact, I love it so much I've thought about changing my name, my nickname from LaVie to Lola. I just want to say L-O-L-A, la-la-la-lola when people ask me my name. So, super excited to have this record, dying that it was 99 cents, especially when I know that's not how much it was meant to be sold for. So whatever. I mean, it was donated. I don't care. So thank you. And then this record is just chock full of good songs. I can't even play them all. There's so many. So if you ever run across a Kinks album, you should definitely buy it in the thrifting wild. And I probably would have paid somewhere up to $10 for the record, even at Goodwill. So it was totally a steal. You know, I mean, five Nagels out of five Nagels. And any Kinks record I would buy for sure, but this is the collection, and so it's just all of their hits, some of the lesser known ones, but definitely all of the really known ones. So I got about 15 other records in that particular haul. I got about almost, I would say around 25 new records on my journey to Santa Fe. I bought a handful of records at St. Vincent de Paul's. They were all $1 each. And then I bought another couple handfuls at the Goodwill in Santa Fe across from Meow Wolf. And so my collection has outgrown its two designated bookshelves. I'm going to have to expand. Or maybe I should stop buying records. Which do you think I'll do? Speaking of not buying things, I did do some spotted, not thrifted things. And let me tell you about a couple of them because they're very noteworthy. One of them I posted on my Instagram feed because they have this gorgeous MCM stereo cabinet that was in excellent condition. And it was only like $30, something ridiculous like that. And it is, in fact, in better condition than mine is. It looked like it might even work. It was in such great condition. The wiring looked good. I didn't plug it in because I just didn't have the heart to try it. There's no way I was getting that thing back here. So I had to leave that behind. And that was a little heartbreaking. Well, something I saw at the Salvation Army we went to in Santa Fe, which I highly recommend. That lady there was just charging me $1 for everything, even if it had a tag on it. The only thing she didn't charge me $1 for were the purses I bought, about like four purses, and she charged me whatever the sticker said. I think the most expensive one was $4. So that Salvation Army was not one of those, you know, confidently priced thrift stores. It was like you need some stuff here, take it. Well, they had a chair there that I just about died over. It's one of those, it's a rounded chair in the back, and it has cross bottom that's in a crisscross pattern, and then it has a leather drum seat and a leather drum back. And so it's kind of like a drum chair, I guess, basically is what it's called. Anyway, they had one for $10. And had it been in good condition, we would have had a fourth passenger on the way home. Mm-hmm. Somebody would have been uncomfortable, but it wouldn't have been the chair. Sadly, the leather was in terrible condition. It was all cracked and broken. It would have needed a lot of repair. And a 10-hour drive is no joke, you guys. So I weighed the pros and cons and I left it behind. My son was pretty grateful. I didn't Instagram it because it was in such bad condition, but it was one of the things that I've been thinking about since I guess it's haunting me a little bit. All the other things that I saw in Santa Fe, I either pretty much bought or I didn't have any sort of attachment to because I knew I wasn't going to be there to buy big items. I did buy this really cool vintage Chinese style. You have little brass corner Chinese plates with some really classic architectural symbols. And it was looked like maybe a teak wood. And then it had the brass symbols on the corners. And it had 8 coasters in it, 4 on each side, and they're all wood with corks. And they had little knobs like drawers. So it basically looked like a little dresser that was maybe about 8 inches wide and about 4 inches tall and about 5 inches deep. Really, really cute. It was $3.99. I bought it at a Goodwill in Santa Fe, and I left that for my Airbnb host, Anne. Thanks, Anne, for hosting us. We had such a great time. Your house is stunning, and it overlooked, you guys, it was on a mountain, and we had to drive up this steep hill in the coldest night. It snowed that night, but we finally get to Anne's place. It was super dark. We couldn't see. We went to the wrong house, but it was worth the whole thing, the 10-hour drive, the getting lost, the banging on the wrong door, everything, because her house is stunning, adobe, giant house, big patios, big windows overlooking the whole city. It was just beautiful. And I wanted to move there. If I could have a house like that, I would move there in a heartbeat. So we were lucky enough to get to rent about, I guess it was a third of the house, the back 2 rooms and 2 showers. And it was just absolutely phenomenal. It made our whole stay even better. I recommend Airbnb. I find it thriftier than hotels. I find the experience more compelling. And almost always do I get to stay in something that really is quite spectacular. So I love Airbnb. If you travel a lot, I highly recommend it. Maybe they'll sponsor the show someday. Wouldn't that be great? Anywho, Santa Fe is a great destination place. If you've never gone, you should go. It's really, really cool. I love all the adobe structures. So if you ever get a chance to go, definitely go. And I went to 4 different thrift stores there. 3 of them I would recommend. I definitely recommend checking out St. Vincent de Paul's. That was our best thrift haul. Everything we bought there was about $1. The only exception was 2 blazers. I highly recommend the Salvation Army that we went to. It was really great too. Very cheap, lots of good stuff. I sort of recommend the Goodwills. They're a little bit pricey, like they are here, like they are everywhere. But if you didn't get enough stuff at the other 2 places, go to the Goodwill. They did have a lot of stuff at the Goodwill. It was very large. But we ended up spending the most at the Goodwills. I think we spent $70 at the Goodwill in Roswell, New Mexico, which, as a destination, just skip it. It wasn't really that cool. And then we spent, I believe, around $65 at the $60 at the Goodwill in Santa Fe. Everywhere else, we spent less than $50, usually around $30 to $40. So, you know, it was a big difference in price. And then the 4th one we went to was a local curated thrift store, and I would totally skip that. All these are up on my Instagram, by the way. They did have some spectacular items, like there was this swing velvet coat that was silk and really beautiful, but it was $100. And sure, it was half off the sticker price, but it was still $50, and I wanted to pay like $10 for it or something. I did buy some jewelry there because they had some very lovely pieces and they had 75% off all the jewelry. So I bought a locket, two brooches, and some hand-woven feather earring pieces that I plan to turn into earrings. And I think I spent about $13 there. It was just, those were affordable. Everything else was just out of my budget. If you're interested in seeing all the items from my New Mexico trip, I did make a YouTube video, which will be out later this week. It's a long one, you guys. It's like 30 minutes. It was so much stuff. And I think I spent a total, you know, I'm not sure, I didn't add it up yet, but I'm guessing around $200, maybe $250 for everything. But it was a lot of stuff. So the video took a long time, and I usually do pretty short ones. I'll also be posting a video of my haul from today. I went to a Buffalo Exchange event here in town, and I got a ton of stuff from there. So that will be up on my YouTube channel and my Instagram TV channel later tonight or tomorrow. So today is 3/17, so it'll be up tonight or on the 18th. On my Instagram and on this podcast, I'm always talking about the things that I get for a dollar, because those are my favorite finds for obvious reasons. I mean, it's a dollar, but then if I liked it enough to buy it for more than a dollar, then it's like this double win. But a lot of times I get questions like, where do you find stuff for a dollar? There's a little thrift store called His Way that has a dollar room. So you go in there and everything in there is for a dollar. And then one of the thrift stores here, I can't remember which one it is right now, has a 99 cent day. So be sure and check all the thrift stores around your city. You can call them, you can go to their websites and ask if they have a dollar day. But hands down, my favorite dollar source is a Buffalo Exchange outlet here in San Antonio, Texas. Now, as I understand, there's only a couple of these around the country. So I feel really lucky that we have one here. And every Sunday they change their tag. So just like a thrift store, they have a tag color that is a dollar. They have a tag color that's half off. And then the other two tag colors are regular price. And everything in the store is a flat fee. So all shirts are $4.50. All sweaters are $5. All jackets are $7.50. All pants are $7.50. And all dresses are $7.50. And so nothing in the store is above $8. So this is a really great place to shop, even if you don't happen to buy anything for a dollar. But on Sundays is when they change the color of the week. So it's a day that a lot of really dedicated shoppers go and buy things for a dollar, because it's the first day of that week that you can buy that color for that price. This Sunday happened to be their 45th anniversary, and they had a birthday party at all the Buffalo Exchanges around the country. Now, those Buffalo Exchanges were offering prices like the outlet prices. So what was really special for us is that they had local vendors come out there to try to sell their goods and to spread the word about the local businesses here. They had music and they had some cookies and just a lot of fun stuff was going on. And then they had been saving back some extra dollar items. So it was just so many dollar items. Here are the audio interviews I did with some people who were at the event. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi.
Hey there.
Tell me a little bit about your event today.
So we actually been out here since yesterday. We started our 45th anniversary for Buffalo, 45 years of fashion. So we're just out here supporting some local vendors, trying to get everyone out to hear about our thrift store. We have all our dollar stuff out here. Plenty of dollar stuff inside, but at least we're seeing a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
A lot of people that also are just coming to see our vendors that didn't know about the store, and just trying to get that environment of bringing new people into the store as well.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. I did see some regulars also come in.
Okay.
They were very surprised about our event. I mean, we have our stuff outside and we never have our stuff outside. So we're hoping this encourages future events for our company.
I think that's great. Tell me a little bit about the vendors. How did you guys go about choosing vendors?
So they're local vendors. Honestly, I was at another event and I just reached out trying to just support any local vendors. We welcomed artists. We have some bakeries here. We have some business owners. So just supporting all local vendors, basically.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for putting this together.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
Oh, yeah. What's your name?
My name's Ina.
Ina. Okay, thank you so much. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well. What's your name?
Venetia Brackett.
Venetia, do you usually shop here at Buffalo Exchange?
I do every Sunday.
Yeah? Do you come here, buy stuff, and then resell it?
Not really.
For yourself? You do it for yourself? It's a good deal, right? A dollar item.
Can't beat that.
What's your favorite thing you've ever bought here?
A pair of Louis Vuitton tennis shoes.
What? And how much were they?
$4.
Can you believe that? It's amazing. Yeah. I come every other Sunday.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm one of those dollar people.
I don't just dollar. I buy everything.
You'll buy whatever.
If it's worth it, yeah, because they sell a lot of name brands.
So I know. It's a good deal.
$8 is the highest thing now. So.
I mean, you can't beat that. Yeah. You know, walking in, I can afford stuff here.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I walk out with $100. I walk out with maybe 80 pieces.
Like a giant garbage bag full of stuff, right?
Yes.
It's amazing. I know.
I'm impressed with that.
Me too. Well, thanks for talking to me. I hope
Thank
you find
you.
Some good deals today.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. What's your name?
My name is Harley.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You're doing a vendor showcase here at Buffalo Exchange.
Buffalo Exchange, yes.
Tell the listeners a little bit about your bakery.
Well, we're called That Cookie Dough Bakery. We specialize in craft cookies. So they're all going to be like normal recipes made a little bit more fun. So we have like a triple snap sugar cookie with sprinkles, chocolate, more sprinkles. This is another popular one. It's called the Classy Bee. It's double chocolate with Nutella and then a whole Ferrero Rocher on top.
Oh my goodness.
And then this is our Robin. It's a lemon cookie with the lemon glaze, lemon zest, and some gold sprinkles.
They look delicious.
Thank
the sample
you.
I had was really good.
Thank you. That one's our OG, so it's original chocolate chip cookie.
And where are you guys located?
Oh, we just do pickup and delivery right now. And
Okay. So we how do we reach you?
Right there. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and then you can also text the word cookies to 474747, and then I contact you and I'll take your order from there.
Perfect. What's your name?
Denise.
Hi,
with
Denise.
Always Extra. This is handmade jewelry we put together in my living room. We have turned it into a shop. Anything sparkly, we make it. We also make these little foam accessories.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, so my best friend and I do this.
Oh, what a fun hobby, and you decided to turn it into a business.
Yes, so we started making earrings for ourselves, and it's like, hey, let's just share it with the world. So
I
that's
love
what we're
that.
Doing, yeah.
And if anybody wants to buy something, they can find you on Facebook?
Yes, on Facebook, Always Extra, or they can go to alwaysextra.org, and they can order online as well.
Yeah. Great. Well, I'll post some pictures of your stuff. Thanks for participating in the event.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
it was
you.
Nice to meet you. Yes. Okay, so what are your names?
My name is Dario.
I'm Larry.
Hi, nice to meet you both.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about your mission and what brings you out here today.
Sure. So Southwest Workers Union is a community organization focused on economic and environmental justice. Currently, we are working on a petition for City Council. They have a vote coming up in May, and that's going to be on the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan, essentially phasing out coal here in San Antonio, moving over to greener energies. A lot of the council members just need some feedback from the community as far as how they feel on the issues. So that's the kind of groundwork that we're doing, is making sure that the community is heard and our voices matter in these sort of political decisions.
I love it. How can listeners of the podcast help? What can
Sure. So in this case, we do have petitions here. We are going to be doing several tables throughout the rest of the coming months, especially up until May. You can also give us a visit at saclimateready.org. That's going to be the official site for the plan itself, and that'll give you a little bit more information just as far as how this affects our community and essentially to what matters in making these decisions for our community as well. But we are a local organization. We're just off of East Commerce. We have a community garden as well as an art gallery, and we're always hosting workshops and garden work days. So just come out and participate with us and get to know a couple more new faces, and we'll be glad to have you.
I love it. Hey, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Irene Gill.
Hi, and what brings you out to the Buffalo Exchange event?
And so I am trying to show everybody the options with essential oils, with diffuser bracelets, and how they can be used as a holistic medicine for emotional and physical health.
That's awesome. And what's it been like today?
So we just got out here, but the weather is amazing. Like, it's cool.
Not too hot. Yep.
And we have a lot of information here on everything, basically how you can use oils for cooking, for emotional balance, for kids as well.
All right.
And for weight loss and fitness. So it's
everything.
Definitely everything you can imagine. These oils are good.
My goodness. So it looks like you have to read a little bit to figure stuff out.
If you can take some information with you.
Oh, okay.
Plenty of extra here. So
you're sending people away with stuff.
Yes, definitely.
What's your name?
Oh, my name is Raymond.
Raymond. Yes. It looks like you're a local artist here in town.
Yes, I am.
Okay. What brings you out to the event?
I have a couple of friends here who work here, and they suggested I come down and try to sell some of my artwork. So.
Okay, so you're like the starving artist representation for today. I get it. Tell me a little bit about what inspires your work.
The female form really interests me, so I've kind of been getting into more, drawing more feminine figures.
Okay, and what are some of the themes in your work that you like to put out there?
Mainly just a bunch of quirkiness. Quirky characters,
okay.
Different hairstyles, different expressions, stuff like that.
Okay, all right. And it is some kind of comic book or pop culture.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of that stuff back in the day. I used to do a lot of painting, painting a lot of things I like, from movies and I guess people who inspired me in my life.
All right, well, thanks for coming out. Have you sold anything yet today?
Not as of yet, but today's still young, so.
It's young. Fingers crossed. Fingers exactly. crossed. If people want to find you on social media, where should they go?
Instagram at Kara Junk. Two words. Kara Junk. Yeah.
Can you spell it?
CarrotJunk.
Perfect. All right, thank you so much. I had a lot of fun doing that, and certainly the sound was better than the last event that I went to. Thanks in part to the new mic setup I got, but also to the fact that the music wasn't quite as loud and the whole atmosphere was a lot more chill. So I think that was a good fit. I do have another event that I want to tell you guys about. It's coming up at the end of this month. It's going to be March 30th in Fort Worth. So if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, please come on out and say hi to Thrift Therapy, and there's going to be some other podcasts there as well. We have a group called the Texas Podcast Union, which is organized by Lainey of True Crime Fan Club. She's amazing. She always throws these great events, and I'm super glad that she invites me to participate, helps me mingle with other podcasters, and get to meet some of the fans of the show. I'd love to meet you, so come on out to The Yard, which we are going to be meeting there at 6 p.m. Saturday, March the 30th. We're planning on ending the event around 10 p.m., so that gives you a good 4 hours to meet and greet. And then I'm sure some of us will stay and hang around anyway. So let me tell you a few other podcasts that are going to be there so that you can plan ahead of time. True Crime Fan Club, of course. All Crime, No Cattle. Love them. Got to meet them at the last event. Shay's hilarious. Shout out. I'm really excited to meet the host of Southern Fried True Crime. It's a show I listen to on my own time, so that's going to be fun. Lone Star Law and Disorder, Nerds from the Crypt podcast, Gone Cold podcast, Best Darn Diddly podcast, Swindled, and of course, Thrift Therapy. So come on out and hang with us. We'd love to meet you. We'll have free swag there. We'll have stickers. We'll have buttons. Well, who knows? We may have t-shirts. And look, I'm bringing some thrift. I'm going to have dollar objects that I've thrifted with Thrift Therapy stickers on them. And I give them away at every meetup. And they're super fun, like kitty cat mugs and fans and candle holders, just weird shit that I find for a dollar that I think I just have to give to somebody. So you'll love it and you'll get a souvenir and it will be really fun. And don't be shy. Definitely come up to me and talk to me. I know that it can be intimidating to talk to somebody that you don't know, but I promise you I'm going to be just as anxious as you are. So we'll just be anxious together. It'll be fine. I promise it's going to be fine. I'm sure you're very lovely. I'm sure I'm very lovely and we'll have such a lovely time. So come to The Yard, hang out, and I may be doing some on-the-spot interviewing. In other news, I just want to let you guys know that the thrift bags are still going strong. I am going to be closing the $30 level of thrift bag. Anybody who has one now may want to keep it, and if you've been thinking about getting a thrift bag, may I recommend doing it now because this is like a sale. So it's $30, including shipping, and you get three items that are substantial, like a shirt, a jacket, and a purse, and then you'll get like some little trinkets, like a jewelry or a belt or something like that. And the $40 level is you get at least four items plus trinkets.
If you want a thrift bag and you've been thinking about it, now's the time to get one. I'll be closing that level down on the 20th of March. So you really only have a couple days to go get it. And the $40 level, I will be expanding and making more spots available. I do have an ambassador program that I just started this past month. If you want to be ambassador for Thrift Therapy, all you have to do is send me an email pitching me why you would be a good ambassador, what your reach is, how we can get the word out there about sustainability. And if I decide to hire you, I will send you a free $30 thrift bag for every month that you're an ambassador. So if that's something that intrigues you, be sure and email me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com. You can also message me through the website thrifttherapypod.com, which is where I keep all things thrift therapy, including all my social media. I've decided to sell thrifty advertising because I really want to support sustainability, and I want to support people who are also doing sustainable things. While I appreciate the sponsorship that I get through Anchor, I also want to make it available to local business owners who may not be going through a corporate platform and who also just don't want a serial advertising, meaning they don't want me to advertise on every episode. They maybe you have an event or a pop-up, a special benefit that you want to promote. I thought I should make that available. So you can sponsor an episode for $15. If you're local to San Antonio or Austin area and you want to sponsor an episode, it's $10. If you want a monthly sponsorship, meaning you do want to be on more than one episode, it's $20. So it's a really good deal. Everybody gets a chance to get their word out there, but I especially wanted to make something affordable and easy to use. And so all you have to do is click on it and it will let you purchase it through my website, and then I'll message you and we'll work out all the details, and it's super, super easy. So I want to support you. I look forward to being able to promote people that have reached out to me personally and that I know personally. So my husband wanted to do the first one so he could get an idea of what you get. Here's Gnome Floof.
Hey, Marsh, let's check out my new mics.
Okay. So, old MacDonald had a farm.
No. You don't need to sing. I'll just ask you questions about your new Instagram account.
Sure.
What made you want to start an Instagram?
My wife made me want to start an Instagram.
She made you like with a gun, or like she inspired you?
Gun.
What? Lie. He's lying.
Yeah, like, total gun.
Okay. Like, well, a metaphorical gun, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he goes, well, what's your next genius idea? Because I'm always having ideas. And I was like, be a dude and start a thrift influencer social media account. So he did it.
So the downside is that if I don't become famous on Instagram, then I'm right. And I get to gloat that I was right all along.
And how is that the downside? Because how often are you right and I'm wrong?
Well, the downside is for you. I guess the upside me is that I'm right.
There's no downside for you. And either I'm right and you're going to be famous, which he would love because he's egocentric. Egotistical, not egocentric. What's the other downside? Nothing. Because either way, you get to be famous or you get to be right. Those are both good things.
I think
there's only a downside for me. You could be an awesome influencer on Instagram. Otherwise, I'm going to be wrong. There's only downsides for me, and I still encourage you to do it, which I think makes me awesome.
I think the downside is that I become an influencer, the very thing I promised I would never be. You know, when I grew up, when I was a kid, I promised myself I'm never going to become an influencer. And so, yeah, that's the downside. I become famous and an influencer, and people actually will listen to what I say. That's just a recipe for disaster.
I noticed that you have been very excited when you get new followers. What's going on there?
Yeah, I like new followers. I think it's because I want to be popular.
And then you seem to get annoyed or upset when somebody unfollows you. What's going on there?
I take that personally.
So you're like the worst person to be on Instagram.
Or the best one.
Or the best one. Okay. Well, you guys should go follow him. Don't unfollow him because he gets cross. But if you follow him, he's at Gnome Floof. That's GnomeFluff.
No, it's GnomeFloff.
Oh, OOF. I don't know. I thought it was gnome fluff, but it's gnome floof. Wait, I think I said gnome floof, but I spelled gnome fluff.
In the floof.
This ad was paid for by the Nalorian on Tumblr.
That thing doesn't exist.
Well, it was paid for by them before they bought
it. I paid for it.
Up.
I totally paid like my real money for this.
Yeah, he wanted me to talk about his Instagram page on my podcast, which I think is just genius. He is already doing a good job. Hey, it's time for the interview now. I'd like to introduce you to my guest Kate from London. I found her on Instagram as City Thrifter, and she's quite amazing. Her style is really cool. It mixes a lot of vintage and 80s pieces to get this kind of, well, we decided to call it thrift shop boys look. And one of the things that really I just enjoyed learning about Kate is that she started as a volunteer for a charity shop. Organization that serves special needs families. And then she's worked her way up to area manager who oversees 8 different retail charity shops. How cool is that? So I'm hoping you guys will find not only some interesting tidbits about thrift shopping in London, but also some inspiration for how to get deeper and deeper into the sustainable lifestyle. Without further ado, here's Kate, City Thrifter. Hello, Kate. Welcome to Thrift Therapy.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe how you got into thrifting?
Okay. So I'm mid-30s and I live in North London. I moved here around 4.5 years ago. I guess how I got into thrifting. See, thrifting over here is probably quite different to how you guys are. So I used to go to what we used to call jumble sales when I was really little with my nan. Sort of they were held in village halls locally to her, where everyone would just have a bit of a clear out of their cupboards, and I'd get a bit excited seeing like buttons, jewelry, scarves, and she'd treat me to a little something when me and my sister went with her. So I guess that's kind of the earliest memories of going to these vintage different bits and bobs, finding things and what we would call thrifting. And then my dad used to take us around, but sort of antique shops and places like that as I got a bit older. But to be honest, at the time, I just found it really boring. Whereas now I kind of look back and think, wow, I'm turning into him because I absolutely love going to those places now. And then it was really sort of when I hit teens and got into fashion. We used to hit Oxford Street as the main sort of drag to go shopping here when we used to come up to London. And I soon got bored of it, to be honest, after seeing everyone in the same things. And I made my first trip to Camden. I don't know if you've heard of Camden.
I think I have. I think I've read about it in stories.
Yeah. So it's got a lot more about it than Oxford Street shopping-wise. There's a huge market, which is just full of every stall imaginable, with loads of vintage going on. At that age, I was sort of standing out a little bit into my grunge, into my Nirvana, wearing my Doc Martens and tie-dye grungy stuff, while my mates were kind of into boy bands. So I was always kind of unique with my style. So as soon as I found Camden, that was it. I used to make a trip up sort of every few months with a couple of mates and trawl sort of the vintage shops and charity shops around that area. And then it's just escalated from there, really. Now I'm living in London. It's just really accessible to find all charity shops and vintage.
Yeah, I see a lot of pictures that you post on your Instagram page, which for the listeners, I mentioned it in the intro, but I want to mention it again. It's City Thrifter on Instagram, and you should definitely follow her, especially if you're looking for style inspo, because she has a great page. And one of the things that I love that you post is little pictures of the shops that you're in. And sometimes they're a real jumbly mess, and sometimes they're really organized, like little vintage shops that we have here. So I love looking at those. How did you decide to become City Thrifter on Instagram? What was that like?
So I've been doing it, City Thrifter page, for 2 years now. Exactly 2 years this month. Bit of a long story, I'll try and keep it short. So I got made redundant from a really long-term job as an area manager in fashion retail. That was the summer before City Thrifter came about. kind of rushed into, well, first time I'd been out of work in years, rushed into a job that was making me miserable just to pay the bills, and made the decision to quit there after 3 months, which was kind of a big deal for me because I'd not been in a job shorter than sort of 2-3 years. So to quit after 3 months, but it was just really not for me, the brand, the company. So made the decision to leave. That was like 2 days before Christmas. And then in the new year, began job hunting again, and just taking my time, to be honest, to find a job that was going to make me a bit more happy. But because I was taking my time a bit more, and it was quite a hard time of year to be finding jobs, I had so much more time on my hands. Obviously, the thrifting and charity shopping and vintage shop trawling, it kind of upped because I had less to do other than my job hunting. And I lived in a house share at the time with three other girls, so I was in the house alone a lot. And just one day in my bedroom, kind of the idea came about, really, after taking some pictures when I'd been out to a load of charity shops that day and took some pictures of what I'd bought. And then I don't know, I think I'd taken some selfies in a mirror in one of the charity shops. So decided to make a page to keep me busy, really, Lavi, just to keep my mind a bit active and to have a bit of fun with it. And it's 2 years later, it's kind of just escalated from there, really.
That's a great story. A couple things really stood out to me. One is that it sounds like it was really out of your character to quit a job without like a super good reason, you know, like they harassed me, I got a better job offer, something like that. You know, it was more like it wasn't a practical reason. It was like a values based reason. Like you just really didn't enjoy it. And to me, that means that it was a really gutsy move for you.
Oh, it was such a big deal at the time, Lavi. You're spot on. It was a big deal. I mean, I was early 30s at the time, and even ringing my mum from London to let her know was just like, oh God, it's just not something I do. But I just thought, life is too short. It's making me that miserable. So let's just regroup, get myself together, and yeah, do something positive.
I 100% agree with that message. And I'm sure there's some listeners that are kind of in that spot right now where they're like, oh, I hate my job. It's life is too short to feel this bad every day. And I like the possibility there that, hey, you can quit, you can regroup, and you can find something else to do with yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's a great message.
I think for me, it was kind of like, what's the worst that can happen if I quit and then I end up having to go back into a similar sort of soul destroying job that I'm not enjoying? Then I'm no worse off. But hopefully I'll be better off, which I definitely am now for what I did. So yeah.
Yeah, it's like you can find the least shitty of the shitty jobs if you're willing to make
them. Yeah, exactly.
For sure. But you have to pay attention to yourself and kind of trust your gut a bit. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that part of the story. Another thing that really stood out to me in your migration to the Instagram page is that I get the impression from your profile and from our pre-interview conversation that you might be a bit shy.
Well, yeah, I describe myself as a bit awkward, I guess. I'm getting better with age. I think since hitting my 30s, I'm more confident. It's a strange one because in my job role, I have to be quite confident, and I am dealing with new people every day. I'm very customer service focused. I'm, you know, dealing with lots of different people within our organization and business. But in my social life, like meeting new people, when I'm introduced to new people with friends, it takes me a while to warm up, I guess. But on here, I guess you can take a bit more of a different, like, I try and keep it as natural and me as possible, and I hope that comes across. But on the other hand, Instagram is always a little bit more posy, and it's kind of, you know, it's not real, we know that, and you do filter things and is a bit more posy, so you do kind of take on a bit of a different character as well, I guess.
That's true. I think one of the things that I really like about your page, it just does feel authentic. It doesn't feel super posy. It does feel kind of natural. I'm always drawn to that because while I do follow a lot of people who have really polished pages, my favorite ones are the ones that feel kind of, like you said, natural and I would even use the word gritty, you know, like just like I'm putting this picture up here.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that, Livy. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I love it. I think it's great. And so you do come across, it seems to me that your personality kind of shines through. And I love your aesthetic. Oh, do you have like a name for your style? Do you have like a title for it?
Not really, no, if I'm honest. God, I don't really have a name for it. I mix eras with my vintage. I mean, if anything, I'm drawn to 80s a lot. I've got quite a boyish figure, so I shop in menswear a lot. So I guess I like the high-waisted jeans. I buy a lot of Levi's and kind of wake them up, and I like the bodysuits of the 80s and that kind of thing. I guess I'm quite eclectic, really.
Yeah, maybe we should think of a word for that. Like the first thing that popped in my head was Pet Shop Boys meets thrift shop. So maybe it's like the thrift shop boys style.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
I don't know what my style is either. It's all over the place, but you definitely have a very clear point of view. So even if you don't have a name for it, you should keep it up. It just really suits you.
Thank you.
And even though I can't really pull that off, the thrift shop boys look, I still get really inspired by the way you put things together, because I think you have a really good eye for detail. I think that's something we have in common. Like you called them the bits and the bobs, I think, earlier, which is adorable. And I'm totally going to steal that. The bits and the bobs, you know, the buttons, the belt, the rings, the seaming. There's just a good eye for detail. Tell me about some of your detail obsessions.
I love belts. I love buckles. I mean, today I've been wearing quite a vintage, I don't even know what you'd call it, almost like a vintage knitted waistcoat that I picked up in a charity shop. And it's got a beautiful gold clasp on it. I do like my gold. So anything with a gold fastening on a handbag or detailed ornate gold buttons, they would attract me for sure.
Dad, you get that from your dad, right? He was really into collecting stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Antiques, him and my mom, they really used to do that before they had me and my sister. That used to be kind of their thing to do, go and hunt down antiques and stuff. We had a lot of sort of antique and ornate furniture growing up. And yeah, early memories of my dad being into that. He used to collect things like war medals and all of that sort of thing as well. So yeah, I guess that's where it could have come from.
Do you have any collections of things that aren't clothing?
No, I don't. It's really mainly clothing. If I'm honest, Livy, my flat is the size of a pea. London renting is expensive. If I had a bigger flat, I would certainly be dangerous with like wicker and rattan pieces. I've got like a little, you know, like the peacock 70s chairs.
Yes.
Yeah. So that would be my dream. However, my flat is not the size to hold something like that. But I've got one of the ones that it's like a plant chair. So I have my plant on it.
Oh, that's clever. So it's like for when you're really, really tiny.
Well, that's the other option. Yeah. That's it. A child's seat, I think my boyfriend called it when the day I picked it up and made him go for a 5-mile walk afterwards because I didn't want to leave it behind. So yeah, that's pride of place. I like sort of the wicker and the rattan and all the 70s stuff for the house. So,
you know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned your boyfriend. Before I was even on Instagram, I remember there was a video circulating around the internet about Instagram husbands.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Does he participate in your Instagram profile?
Right. So when I first started out, it was kind of like a lot of selfies and that kind of thing around my house share. And then obviously when he got a bit more involved, he would reluctantly, but didn't seem to mind too much at vintage fairs or if I was kind of like in a charity shop getting a shot for me. And then he soon got very fed up and just embarrassed by the whole thing, which is fair enough. So now kind of each birthday or Christmas, I seem to get some sort of instrument to help me with this. So for example, I got like an octopus kind of Bluetooth mechanism that I haven't quite mastered. He bought me that for it must have been Christmas, that you can attach your phone to and obviously take the pictures via Bluetooth. But really I use the tripod that he got me for my birthday the year before the most, and my Bluetooth little mechanism that he also got me. So yeah, he's given me the tools.
I think that's a really, really good couple story, because he didn't get resentful. He was like, well, I just don't want to be the person taking them. Here are all these tools. Here's your pretend boyfriend. Here's your substitute boyfriend.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He might be a keeper, Kate, because, you know, he was able to manage those feelings really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do it all myself, and I just do mirror selfies because you said you've been listening to the podcast, so you probably know I have a private practice, a full-time gig. I'm a very busy person already.
Yeah.
So I can't see myself switching to street shots, just because it seems like a lot of work goes into that. And but I love looking at other people's street shots. The one thing I always wonder, though, is like, what are the people around you doing?
Well, if I'm honest, all of mine are pretty much indoors or down an alleyway by my flat. So any that you'll see where I am out in real life in public, they won't be taken by me. So, yeah, I've not got to the point where I set up the tripod in public, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a whole other level of confidence, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd need about 3 pints of beer, I think, minimum. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably need a drink or two, especially for the first few times. I did do a couple of live videos inside of a thrift store.
Oh, wow.
I felt a little more comfortable with that. Like you're saying, just being indoors somehow was okay. And plus, a thrift store is where I feel the most comfortable in the whole world.
Yeah, I can relate to that, definitely.
You mentioned that you have a day job, like your main hustle, the thing you do to pay your bills, kind of. What is it that you do?
Okay, so I actually work for a charity. I work for an organization that supports vulnerable children and their families, children with special needs and learning disabilities, autism, that kind of thing. I look after the retail side. So I just trading operations manager, which is basically a bit like an area manager. We have 8 charity shops and I manage those. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. That fits so well.
It is.
Yeah, your narrative is strong in thrift. It's really all the way around. That's awesome.
So yeah, I've been there about 1.5 years. When I've always worked in retail, as I said, and when I had that kind of blip, shall we call it, after I quit that job, I then went to another job for a little while, working for an awesome Aussie brand, again quite high end, but not in a snotty way, to put it politely. So they were like really down to earth. I enjoyed the brand, but unfortunately it just didn't work over here, so yet again found myself redundant. But it was summer, it was fine, you know, I sucked it up and decided that I'd wanted to get into charity retail for a long time, which is just seen as very different to sort of commercial and high-end retail over here. So I'd been for a couple of interviews and they'd wanted me to kind of take a big step down and perhaps manage a shop before I could take on an area role. So I decided to volunteer in some charity shops to kind of prove that I was really, really needing this, really wanting this role. So yeah, finally got there and yeah, loving it. It's hard work, completely different workforce working with volunteers compared to paid staff, but I've got so many stories already.
But you're very gutsy.
Oh, thank you.
That's the second time I've been like, well, that's amazing. I think it's a values thing. One of the things that I do as a therapist is that I talk about values a lot, which are sort of what Aristotle called virtues, you know, like courage, fortitude, thriftiness would be a virtue, right? Cleanliness, education, just things that don't actually exist in the world as a thing, but they're sort of ideas that human beings aspire to. And I think when I hear people's stories, a lot of times the things that stand out to me are ways in which they were living their values. And so when I hear that you were like, okay, I'm going to volunteer for this position and I'm going to prove that this is something I really want to do, I thought, oh, yes, girl, you were living your values. You know, like you're like, I really believe in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it takes someone else to point that kind of thing out to you. Well, for me anyway, I should be more positive about what I do and have more faith in myself, definitely.
Well, I think that's a life journey for most of us. It's really easy to get down on ourselves, especially if we don't get an opportunity, or we, I mean, for me, I remember life before therapy. I wouldn't really think about myself in any kind of abstract or objective way. I would just get lost in my thoughts and my feelings, you know, real easily. But, you know, after therapy, which is what made me want to go become a therapist myself, you know, it created a new value in me for wellness. And it sort of gave me permission to think about myself in an abstract and maybe a more bird's eye, like a narrator in a story, you know, like,
yeah,
what is she doing down there? What is she, where are those thoughts coming from?
Just taking a bit of a step back and, yeah, analyzing yourself, I guess.
Yeah, like a sort of a metacognition. And so this podcast, even though it's about thrifting, I find myself doing that all the time. I hope it's not a problem.
Not a problem at all. I'm enjoying it so far, definitely.
Okay, good. Well, I think I have talked to somebody else in London. I talked to somebody in France. And one of the things that I really became interested in is thrifting around the world. So I think that I'm going to have to start planning some trips. If somebody is in London already or in surrounding areas, or if they are thinking of coming to London and they need to thrift shop, what are some of your favorite thrift spots?
Okay, so here I think with you guys, you have thrifting as in like more like discount thrift shops as well. Is it a mix of charity and thrifting?
Well, it's the charity part is a thrift store is usually run by a larger organization that is the charity. So like the Salvation Army is a charity, and then they have thrift shops, kind of like what you were explaining before. So I think it's kind of similar. Okay. I think we just call them different things.
Okay. So in that case, so for the thrift shops, what we would call the charity shops, you need to kind of stay out of the central London areas. You're not going to have much. They're more sort of the bigger vintage stores where obviously, much like you've highlighted on your podcast, you'll find people that are buying them for next to nothing, but selling them on for ridiculous prices. So to stick to the little thrift stores, North London is where I'm based. So obviously that is dear to me. There's a place called Crouch End, which is kind of the posher, more affluent part of North London, which is about half an hour from me. And because of the area it's in, the caliber of donations they get through the door is really quite something else. And this area in particular has sort of a run of eight or so charity shops on the same strip. So that's a good one for me that I tend to kind of hit up every couple of months. Camden, to go back to there again, there's sort of areas, Kentish Town, Camden, Chalk Farm, because for me, I hit sort of the vintage along with the charity shops as well. And it's really eclectic people around there, just a complete melting pot of all sorts of styles. Everyone's quite, you know, confident in just wearing what the hell they want and not conforming around that area. So you really can pick up some different unique items around there. They'd probably be my main two places in London that I would say to go to for the thrift stores.
That sounds like thrift heaven. It's like I kind of got stuck back at eight in a row. I was getting really excited. There's a few places around here where there's a cluster of thrift shops. And I can just spend a whole day doing that if I have the time. It's so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because of over in the UK, the high street is really struggling because of online shopping, that sort of thing, that there's a lot of empty units, and the charity shops over here, we get like a reduced rate on the council tax. So it's a lot of charities kind of want to take over those premises because it is reduced rates for them. And then the councils want to fill the units because they don't want empty units on the high street. So even the organisation I work for, where one of our particular shops is, well, we've got two, a men's and a women's, opposite from each other. And there's seven other charity shops, including ours, just on this one high street. So, yeah, there's a lot.
That sounds really good. I would, if I ever get to visit, I mean, it's something I'd like to do. I definitely want to go to the Crouch area.
Crouch End. Yeah, you'd love that. Yeah,
that sounds right up my alley. So last question, and then we'll do the thrift questions. Do you have any style tips for people who might be wanting to revive the 80s in their wardrobe?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just not that good at it, Kate. I'm really stuck in the 70s. That was the decade of my early childhood. So
this is with, that's like with me in the 80s then. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the high, for me, it's like all about the high-waisted kind of mum jeans and the bodysuits. So a fitted top with a slouchy kind of high-waisted bottom. I mean, if anyone wants to watch the series Glow, that is all the inspiration you need. You guys must have seen that over in America on Netflix, the wrestling series with the female
wrestlers.
Oh, yes,
I am familiar with that. I haven't watched it. That's what I need to do immediately then.
Okay, so that is full-on 80s amazingness, to be honest, and all the style tips you could want are on there, definitely, definitely.
The only real move I've made back to the 80s is I got my hair lopped off, like, meaning I had layers forever because my favorite hair is, like, Farrah Fawcett hair. To me, that's the best hair. There's never going to be better hair than Farrah Fawcett hair. But I lopped off all my layers a couple years ago into a bob, and now that it's grown out, I definitely have way bigger hair than I've had since the 80s. So I'm trying to be hip and with it, but you know, I did the 80s before and I did them pretty well, so I don't know if maybe it's just I don't have enough creative ideas about how to do the 80s.
You don't need to revisit that. Yeah,
so I'm gonna watch Glow, and then you know what I'll do is I'll post some Glow inspired pictures. I will up my 80s game. So let's do the thrift questions. This is where I ask people questions that I think tells me how much of an expert thrifter they are. I don't know what it really does, but it's fun.
Okay, sounds good. Ready. Okay.
How often?
Weekly as a minimum. I mean, weekly in my spare time, so on a weekend, but being honest, because of my job role, I'm kind of office-based 1 to 2 days a week, and the rest I'm out and about in our shops. So you can imagine I quite often pick something up in the shops. So yeah, it's weekly, if not, and then a couple of bits in between here and there whilst I'm working.
I'm a little jealous of that. That sounds fun. I mean, I have these weird dreams, Kate, where like everything in my dreams does at least three things. Like it'll be a restaurant, church, bar, or, you know, it's like nothing is one place. It's like a hybrid of places. A grocery store, library, / there's always drinks or food. So restaurant. So if I could have a therapy office / thrift store / bar.
The dream.
Literally.
Yeah.
That would be my dream place. And it would need to be open 24 hours. So let's see. Do you take a list with you in your head, or do you just spontaneously grab things?
I think I'm quite spontaneous. I like to go with a really open mind, but then often you're going to have an occasion or a reason for why you want something, you want to replace something, or you need something. So yeah, a bit of both, I guess. And quite often I'll go in for something and come up with something I really shouldn't, like the jackets, the coats. I mean, it's getting out of control, really, how many I have. So that's a problem, definitely.
Well, at least it's cold where you live, right?
This is it, the unpredictable weather. You need every jacket, every kind of variation possible.
I have no excuse for the high number of coats that I have. What about thrift gods?
Thrift gods. I'm undecided on this. But what I would say, I believe in thrift karma, I guess. I donate a lot of my, you know, when I'm having a chuck out. I recently had a week off and thought I better see what all this Marie Kondo hype was about. Had a little watch of that and had a declutter of my bedroom. So I tend to give a lot back into charity. I really should start reselling, but I think work doesn't really allow for. It's just an extra thing I don't think I have the time to take on. So for me, it's nice just to give back to the charity shops that I shop in. So I kind of believe that because I'm giving that back in, that then I get that back tenfold and find the gems.
I think that's a really great philosophy. And I guess the thrift gods are kind of like that for me. But I picture them as some kind of pagan deities that demand sacrifices. Like, I have to sacrifice that. Here, take these shoes. Here, take this outfit. And if I don't do it, I'm going to be punished, because I grew up in a Christian household where punishment's like a big deal, you know. I've got a lot of guilt I've got to exercise. So I make my sacrifices and I get blessings in return. Yes, it's
amazing.
It's the in and out, right? So what about, do you like to go alone or do you like to go with friends?
I do like to go alone. I'm sure most people say that, do they?
Experts say that. Yeah. Experts say they go alone. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the pressure is getting worse and worse from friends and people that follow me that kind of want to come with me and learn the secrets or learn, you know, what the gift is. But I'm trying to keep that at bay for as long as possible, because it's just something I really enjoy doing on my own.
I get it. And I think it's like, when I do it with friends, it's a totally different experience. Like, I hardly get anything because I'm doing something else there. Like, it's like I'm entertaining rather than shopping. I've got to make funny jokes about this weird record. I've got to make comments about this strange object.
Yeah, you've got to agree with them when they're annoyed that something's not in their size, and you're explaining, well, that's kind of the whole point of the thrift, you know, you've just got one off, you need to have a bit of a hunt. They like the idea of it, but you've either got it or you haven't, as in you're really into it, or if you're not sure and you haven't tried it before by sort of, you know, 20, then it's probably not something you're going to be that into. And it's not something you can teach someone, I don't think.
I don't know. I'm trying to teach people by having this podcast. But you're right. I think there is an element of artistry in it. I think it is. There is a quality that you can't teach people. Like, maybe a lot of people can be good singers and can be good philosophers or whatever, but they don't have that it factor that makes them like a really good teacher, a really good artist with the thing that they want to do. So they can do it technically, but they don't have artistry, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think there's a part you can learn, and then there's a part that if you don't have it, you'll never have it.
Yeah, agreed.
There's both. Let's see, last question. What is your best or worst thrift story?
Okay, so, I mean, I would say that I'm not really drawn to designer items. I'm generally drawn to vintage, as I've said, but I would have to say that the items that I hold as my, you know, my most proud moments with thrifting would be the ones that tend to have the designer labels. So the most recent would be just last week, my first day back after a week off work. I went to visit a charity shop on the start of the week, actually one of our own, and was drawn immediately to kind of an oversized brown jacket hanging in the middle of the rail. And the shop manager said, oh, I knew you'd like that, Kate. Pulled it out, tried it on. It was a couple of sizes too big, but I like to wear it like that, deep pockets. So at £20, I do not need a coat, do not need a jacket. Was about to put it back. I've got so many, but it is very me. I love it. And then the Max Mara label flashed at me out the corner of my eye, and I couldn't not take it.
It wooed you.
It wooed me, absolutely.
I saw pictures of you wearing that coat. It looks really good. It fits in perfectly with your aesthetic, too. So I think it was a good choice, but I'm a classic thrift enabler, so don't listen to me.
Well, I have to say, there's not been a day since that I haven't worn it, I don't think. So I know that it's not going to be one of those kind of wooed in by the label. I'm hoping that that is just going to become something that I get loads and loads of wear out. So, yeah.
Right. So, you know, what you have to do is just make a sacrifice to the thrift gods. And then it's all evened out. You just put, you're like, okay, I got this amazing coat. I'm going to wear it every day. What about this coat that I just don't wear that much? Gone.
Something's got to go. Something's got to go. You're right. You're right. I'm actually going to a charity event, a new charity shop opening from a charity called Shelter that deals with the homeless. I'm heading there next week. And on the invite, they've actually asked me to bring a donation to the evening. And I've never had that before. So I kind of felt pressure to take something quite nice. So I think you're right. I'll take them a coat. I'll hunt one out.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Okay. Do you have any events or websites or blog post or anything that you want to tell the listeners about that they can go support?
Well, with my work, I run a page called Norwood Charity Shops, which is another Instagram page, which I'm trying to grow, which is all about the 8 charity shops that we have in North London within our organization. So that's, yeah, Norwood Charity Shops. That would be great to give them a follow. I have got a website coming up. You know, I did start it a while ago and start the odd blog. It's something that I need to get back into in the new year, which is just citythrifter.com, but it isn't all up and running at the moment. But hopefully I'll get that sorted again sort of in the next month or so.
Perfect. Well, that's all I have today, Kate. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to chat to you, and keep it up. It's great. Great listening.
Oh, thank you. And I will see you online.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Thrift Therapy. I will see you here again in 2 weeks, and we will talk more thrifting. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend. As always, stay thrifty.